Jesus. It's obvious. Jesus is Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. Jesus is Lord. Yes, indeed. Who is Jesus? What does it mean when we proclaim Him Christ, Messiah, Lord, Son of God? What does all of this mean? And who truly is Jesus? Think about the terms and the titles that we use for Jesus. I put a pen to paper for just a few minutes the other day, and I came up with a long list. Here's a few of the terms we use. Messiah, Christ, Master, Savior, King, King of Kings, Lord, Lord of Lords, High Priest, God, Son of God, Word of God, Lamb of God, Son of Man, Light of the World, the Bread of Life, the Chief Cornerstone, the Rock, as in Jesus is the Rock and He rolls my blues away, the Second Adam, the Way, the Truth, the Life, the Prince of Peace, our Protector, the Good Shepherd, our Guide, our Friend, our Companion, our Brother. Just a short little list of maybe a few of the titles, a few of the terms that we in the church use for Jesus. But today we're going to look at one that is not commonly used by Christians for Jesus. Turn back for just a moment to Deuteronomy. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, "If I hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore or ever again see this great fire, I will die." Then the Lord replied to me, "They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words of that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die." Now, at first glance, this sounds like Moses and God are talking about the prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Amos, Hosea, the prophets of the Old Testament, the prophets that we frequently read from in the Old Testament, the prophets that foretold the coming of Jesus, the prophets that foretell the coming of the new covenant that is written on our hearts, a covenant not in stone, but in the Word of God written on our hearts. We think this is speaking about the prophets of the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, we find an interesting interpretation of this passage. Did you know that both Peter in Acts chapter 3 and Stephen in Acts chapter 7, both of these New Testament characters identified Jesus with this prophet, the specific prophet that God was speaking to Moses about when he said to Moses, "They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet who shall speak to them everything that I command." That first part there in verse 18. Both Stephen, just before he was killed, and Peter apply this passage from Deuteronomy to Jesus. Well, Jesus isn't a prophet. He's the Christ, the Messiah. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the Son of God. He's the Shepherd, the Good Shepherd, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. He is the Son of God and the Word of God and the Light of God and the Peace of God and the Joy of God and the Prince of Peace. He can't be just a prophet. Knock just out. There is no such thing as just anything with Jesus. There are many references to Jesus as being a prophet in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 13, verse 57 reads, "And they were offended in Jesus. But Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." And of course, here he's speaking about himself. Quoting the Old Testament, yes, but applying the statement about a prophet being without honor in his own home, in his own hometown. And he's applying it to himself. That's straight from Jesus, friends. And we see it in all three of the synoptic gospels. Matthew 13:57, Mark 6, verse 4, and Luke 4, verse 24. And all four of these passages in the gospels. Luke 4:24 reads, "And Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country," speaking about himself and the rejection that he received when he was in the synagogue in his hometown. Other passages, Luke chapter 7, verse 16, "And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, That a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people." Well, definitely right on the first part. None of us deny that. God hath visited his people. Jesus is God. What about the first part? That amongst us God has raised up a prophet. Another passage from Luke, chapter 24, verse 19. "And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Considering Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people." This is from the Emmaus Road experience. Jesus walking along teaches the two disciples about the meaning of the Old Testament scriptures and that the Messiah had to come and had to die. Was a suffering servant Messiah concept that until that point in time had been missed. This is the post-death and resurrection scene where the two disciples on the way to Emmaus are encountered by Christ Jesus. And he asked them about what they were discussing, and they said about Jesus of Nazareth, and they identified him as a prophet. There's more. John chapter 4, verse 19, the Samaritan woman. She said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." He don't say, "Uh-uh." He doesn't correct her. Of course, there's the Acts 3 and Acts 7 references I made before. Matthew 21, verse 11. "And the multitude proclaimed, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Matthew 21, verse 46. "But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude." This is speaking of the leaders of the Jewish people. When they sought to lay hands on Jesus, they feared the multitude because the multitude took Jesus to be a prophet. Matthew 26, verse 68. "They called upon Jesus to prophesy. Who slapped you?" Of course, it's a phrase of derision. He can't see it and just whammo. "Who slapped you? Prophesy to us." A prophet prophesies. Revelation, the book of Revelation, speaks about this as a prophecy of Jesus Christ. In other words, the New Testament is replete with references to Jesus prophesying, with references of people proclaiming Jesus to be a great prophet, raised up among the people. Parallel with, in the exact same phrase as this is a prophet whom the Lord has raised up, a mighty prophet indeed, they also proclaimed that God hath visited his people. Right the second time, they're right the first. And then, of course, where Peter and Stephen both proclaim that this passage in Deuteronomy about the prophet that God would provide is Jesus of Nazareth himself. We're used to Lord, we're used to Savior, we're used to Master, we're used to Shepherd, we're used to Prince of Peace, Son of God, Son of Mary, wasn't in my list, but that's sometimes used. Son of Man, which is one of the favorite phrases of the Synoptic Gospels. Lamb of God, we're used to all of these phrases about Jesus, but not prophet. Yet the New Testament wasn't afraid to apply that phrase to him too. Throughout the New Testament, Jesus is spoken of as a priest, high priest. He is spoken of as the sacrifice, the lamb, slain for the sins of the world. Priest and sacrifice. He's spoken of as king, son of David, king of kings and lord of lords. Why not also prophet? One who proclaims the word of God. One who is the Word of God, proclaiming the Word of God, just as one who is our high priest, acting on our behalf, and at the same time, our sacrifice, turning himself over to be sacrificed. He is also the prophet, proclaiming the Word of God, which is himself. Why have we, as the church, shied away from this reference to Jesus? We can see it in the New Testament. If you go also to the sermons from the first several centuries of the history of the church, you can find sermon after sermon after sermon about Jesus as high priest, about Jesus as the Lamb of God, about Jesus as the King of Kings, the Son of David. All of the images of the Messiahship contained in one: the military governor, kingly Messiah, the priestly Messiah, the Messiah who gives himself as the suffering servant. Why not the Messiah who proclaims the Word of God in righteousness? In the church, in its first 5, 6, 7 centuries, that image was preached. There were sermons throughout those years, throughout those centuries, sermons that we have today because they were written down. Sermons and studies in Scripture which lift up yet this extra image of Jesus as a prophet, the prophet, as professed and proclaimed here in Deuteronomy, the prophet of God who speaks the word of God. And as with his kingship, and because he is the kingdom, and as with his priesthood, he is the priest. As with the sacrifice, he is the sacrifice. So also as the prophet, he is the prophecy. He is the word proclaimed, the very word placed into the prophet's mouth is Jesus, and he himself speaks himself forth. One of the preachers of the early church, the first 300 years of the church, a man by the name of John Chrysostom, he was bishop of the church in Constantinople, and he preached a multitude of sermons on these types of themes and topics. And he did not slight Christ Jesus the prophet. There is one reason why the church has shied away from this image of Jesus. And it's because the Muslims the followers of Muhammad's teachings, the people of the religion of Islam, only reference Jesus as the last prophet before Muhammad. And out of fear of that proclamation that they make about Jesus, the church pretty quickly dropped references to Jesus the prophet. It's still there in Scripture. You can't miss it. It's still there in the history of the church before the rise of Islam. But then suddenly, with the rise of Islam, references to Jesus as a prophet begin to decline in the sermon hit parade. And yet Jesus is the prophet and the prophecy. He is the Word who proclaims Himself. He is the Word that all other prophets are called to proclaim. In the history of the church, in the study of the field of theology, which deals with ministry, there are three kinds of pastors: priests, prophets, and kings. Priestly ministry involves that which involves that which happens at the table and in baptism and in weddings and in funerals. Also involves pastoral care situations, all the types of ministries that deal not just with liturgy and ritual, but with pastoral care, i.e. communicating God to the people and the people to God is the priestly function in ministry. Prophecy. Now, prophecy isn't just proclaiming what's going to happen next Tuesday or next year. I listened on January 1st to one of those mini radio programs where people call in and give their predictions for what's going to happen in 2006. And I continually laugh my head off every time I listen to those kinds of shows, because people will come up with the most outlandish things that are going to come to pass during the year. And it's the most outlandish things that you've ever heard, and of course you know most of them aren't going to happen, but there's always one or two. Someone's really good, and there's always one or two that hits it right on the nose, and of course that's all anybody ever remembers, or the one or two they got right, not the 25 they got wrong. Well, even I have a 2% hit accuracy. Prophecy is not about foretelling the future. It's about speaking the Word of God. That's true with Isaiah and Jeremiah. That's true with Ezekiel, Hosea, Amos, Micah, all of the prophets of the Old Testament. Their primary duty and responsibility is to speak the Word of God. Take a look at what was said here by God about what prophecy is. Verse 19, "Anyone who does not heed the words that prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die." God gives the prophet the word to speak, and the prophet speaks the word. That's the primary job of prophets. That's the primary job of prophecy. In the ministry, the prophet label for pastors is the preacher, the one who proclaims the Word of God, the one who expounds upon the Holy Scripture, explains it for the people to understand and apply in their lives, the minister who takes the gospel, who takes the Holy Scriptures and opens it and explains it, is a prophet. They may not foretell the future, but they speak the Word of God. That is the fundamental essence of prophecy. And in the New Testament, when someone was prophesying, sometimes they're speaking about what God is getting ready to do, but frequently what they're doing is making a connection between what God has done and proclaimed in Scripture and in Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord, and what God wants to do in and through us. The prophets of the Old Testament. Their job was to speak the Word of God. Frequently an uncomfortable Word of God to a ruler or a people who didn't want to hear it. Hence the temptation would be great to, instead of give the bad news, you give good news instead. You speak the message the people want to hear. Oh, preacher, don't preach any more fire and brimstone messages. My feet are black and blue from your dancing all over them. Stop preaching to me and preach some good sermons about love. Well, if God has given direction that fire and brimstone is due, fire and brimstone is due. If God has given the direction that love is due, a sermon about the love of God is due, then a sermon about the love of God is due. It's hard for those of us who preach on Sunday mornings to remember. We have an awesome and terrifying responsibility, because that end of that phrase there, the end of the reading today from Deuteronomy, is directed right at me and right at all of us who preach. Any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die. That's pretty stiff. That's what prophecy is all about. Being faithful with the Word of God. And that is directed at me, but it's also directed at each of us. We as the people of God are called to be prophets to the world, proclaiming the Word of God, the Word God has given us, not just with our lips, but with our living, with our bodies. Then there's the king image of ministry. Kingly pastorate, the administrative roles of the pastorate, determining the good order of the church, selecting leaders in the church, raising up future preachers in the church, guiding the church, giving leadership to the church. The kingly office and ministry of the church also involves the priestly and the prophetic roles by helping to maintain a sense of accountability within the congregation. Each pastor has his own strengths and weaknesses. Some are really good priests, some are really good prophets, and some are really good kings. You're usually good in one area, decent in another area, and frequently stink in the third. I know very few clergy who are good in all three. Usually, if you're good in all three, you're only mediocre in two of them. Acceptable. And then one you overdo. It's difficult to get a good balance. I was always taught, you have a couple of areas you're really strong in, so you spend most of your time in the area that you're not. You know how uncomfortable that is? Especially when it's the administrative office, which is your least developed office. We have all three of these images, priest, prophet, and king, and they all apply to Christ Jesus in the New Testament, and can be seen pointing to Christ Jesus from the Old. So we have a wonderful list of titles and terms for Christ Jesus. Many of us could add our own to this list, to the list of Messiah, Christ, Master, Savior, King, King of Kings, Lord, Lord of Lords, High Priest, God, Son of God, Word of God, Lamb of God, Light of God, Son of Man, Light of the World, the Bread of Life, Chief Cornerstone, the Rock, the Second Adam, the Way, the Truth, the Life, the Prince of Peace, the Protector, the Good Shepherd, Guide, Friend, Companion, Brother. But we could add to this, Prophet of God. We could add to this, the Prophecy of God. Right there with the Word of God. My friends, I invite you to listen listen to Jesus, your Lord and Savior, your Master, your King, your friend, your brother, your shepherd, and the prophet of God. With a prophet like Jesus, we don't need any other. With a king like Jesus, we don't need any other ruler. With a Savior like Jesus, we don't need any more saving. With a prophet like Christ Jesus our Lord, we have the Word of God.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of First United Methodist Church of Sigelville, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Sigelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.